think it's anyone else. So, if someone thinks it's a big problem, I don't. And I think that's the same for there. Okay, I'd like to start with a brief show. You might be a little restless sitting around and wanting to do something. But we'll go ahead with the show, and then later on we'll have questions and answers and talk about that drama. Shall we go ahead and explain the story a little? We tried to figure out which story would be best to show here, and we picked a story that isn't based so much on the dialogue, but more on the visual action. The story is called Two Foolish Cats. A long time ago in the country of Japan, there were two cats. One was a very large cat. And the other one was a very small cat. Now these two cats were good friends for many years. One day they were traveling down the road and they came upon two rice cakes right in the middle of the road. Now see, the large cat had the smaller rice cake, and the small cat had the large rice cake. And they started comparing their rice cakes, and the large cat wanted to trade. Hey, I'm the larger cat. I should have the larger rice cake. Give it over. Well, no. I'm very small, and so I have to eat a lot so I can grow big and strong like you, so I should have enough. And they started quarreling. This went on all day and all night, until finally the big cat decided we had to stop. Time out. I think we should go visit the wise old monkey in the forest. Maybe he can solve our quarrel. Okay. So they started on their journey through the forest in search of the wise monkey. And the monkey was perched up in a tree. The wise monkey had on a red cap with a tassel, and he also had some golden scales, and he was picking his weight. The large and the small cat both spotted the monkey, and they both wanted to talk to him first. Whoa, listen, wait, no, listen, quick, I'm going to talk about, no, wait, let me talk, wait a moment. Please, one person talking at the time. Okay, sir. Wise monkey. You see, we had been friends for many years, and one day we came upon these rice cakes, and we seized upon them, and I am the larger cat, therefore I should have the larger rice cake, and this is the smaller cat, therefore he should have the smaller rice cake, but he wouldn't give it over to me, and so we decided we should come to you to help solve our quarrel. You two are very clever to come see me. I can solve your problem. You want to stop quarreling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want the food divided even, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give me your rice cakes. There you go. They are even. They are gone. Now it is fair, and you will not quarrel anymore. And with a flick of his tail, the wise monkey disappeared up the tree. Oh. The two cats traveled back out of the forest. They were friends again. I feel foolishly stupid. I feel stupidly foolish.
Huh.
And from then on, they never quarreled again. You have to think about the story, what's the concept behind, and use the appropriate signs. We threw out the script, all the words. We just focused on the concepts and used what signs we needed to convey that. But the action is really the dialogue. Okay, let's do the next piece. The next thing's a little different, different form of this drama. It's using the signs themselves. Let me explain a little bit about this technique that's used in deaf drama. Do any of you know the numbers in American Sign Language? Okay, let's see. Come on. Come up here. Don't be shy. So, do you know 15 to 0 by any chance? Count backwards. Okay, 15. Okay, show everyone. And go ahead and copy, and this will help you get an idea of a technique we use.
Spotlights!
15. 11, 10, your palm faces out when you get to 10. Same with 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3 is different than you're used to. It's not this. Now this story is based on using those hand shapes to tell a story. Those are my limits. I'll explain it while I'm doing it, and I'll do it once with voice and then the second time with no voice. The title is The Vampire. I'm limited to using that hand shape, 15, to show smoke. 14 becomes my cape. 13, I can use the hand shape for 13, and when I use it like this, it's the sign for deadlift. 12 becomes a sign for horse running, four legs running. 11 can be shown like this, it's the victim appearing. The hand shape of 10, used this way, is also the sign for chase. 9, I can use to show my wings. The hand shape for 8, I can use to show the claws. The hand shape for 7, I am used for grabbing my victim. Remember, I had the victim show up there, still there. 6. Laugh. I can use that to show the sign for laughing. 5, and tip for number 5. You all know you can tell what this is. I'm shaking the victim, choking them. 4, off to the head. 3, the hand tip for 3. I can use to show the head rolling off. 2, the hand tip for the number 2. I can use for the sign to look, and 1 is the body taking off headless. The victim is, you know, like a chicken without his head. No! And now I've got to take off. So I use 0 to fade out. I can use the hand shape for 0 and show them that way to fade out. So now we'll go through it with no voice. So, that's a type of drama where you use numbers, you have to limit yourself to those signs to make the story. There's another technique where you use all the letters in the alphabet, ABC story. same type of technique. You're limited. You have to follow each letter in order and using those hand shapes come up with a story. Now suppose you're at home. I want you to all imagine that you're home on the sofa with some munchies, some popcorn, pop, whatever, stuffed out, and you're watching TV. And right now what's on TV is the commercial time for Rainier Beer. So relax, you're watching TV, and I'll do an ABC story about the mountains. And I have to follow the handshakes for the alphabet. A, mountain. B, the handshakes for B. I'm showing you the shape of the mountain. C is the cap, the top. Peak. It's the letter D. But I'm showing it the sign for fall. E is for environment, the sign for environment. And what's the environment? Then F, forest. So I go in order. This is the sign for tree, but I'm changing it using the F hand shape. And then next is G, showing green. H, to show that I'm very high up in the mountain. I, I'm showing the line, the outline of the mountains as it curves down. Show the whole range. And then J, I curve around to where I am. K, I change the hand shape for K, but to show me standing. L, I sign for alive. M, again, I'm starting the shape of the mountain. Then I switch to N halfway up so I can get N in. O, sunrise. P, streams of sunlight coming down. Q, the hand shape for Q to show the trunks of the trees going up. R, it's a, I can use it in this way to show the tree trunk swaying, tree branches swaying. S, the sign for years is this, but it uses the S hand shape. T, I am switching it to T, positive life up in the mountains. T, and then U, again I'm standing. V, looking around. X, using it for the sign to give. Y is everyone equal. And then Z is me walking through the forest, following the hand shape of Z. Okay, I'll do it again. No voice. first I'll show it in English, how you were trying, if you were playing English, and the second I'll show it in ASL, theatrical sign, without voice. You can see the images the second time. In English, a tree frog clings to the banana leaf, clinging and swinging. And if anyone has a question, go ahead and raise your hand so we can see who's talking. We're open for questions.
When was there a deaf theater in Seattle?
Well, I guess I'll go ahead with that one. Really, community theater started a long time ago, I'd say 1950s, even before the Deaf Drama and Arts Project. But it started again, I'd say it was around 1978. There was a group called Deaf Drama and Arts Project. And it was about that time that I joined it. And I was involved with that project for about 2 or 3 years. And we did 3 sign language productions. And several storytelling events and things like that. I left Seattle at that time then to join with the National Theater of the Deaf, and the Deaf Drama and Arts Project kind of folded. But then there was another project that started up with Seattle Children's Theater, right? Right after the Deaf Drama and Arts Project folded, I had just been at National Theater of the Deaf. How many of you know about NTD, National Theater of the Deaf? Short NTD, National Theater of the Deaf. It's established, it's in Connecticut. I guess it's been established for about 25 years. And they're a touring theater company, all deaf actors, and they have 2 or 3 voice actors as their voice interpreters. I was in the company for 2 years, and I came back to Seattle and started working with Seattle Children's Theater, and we set up a joint project called Theater and Sign. And I think we had, there was Hurdle and Thurber and Sign, I think just 2. SCT. So then they did 2 productions under that project title. But then that fell through also, a lot of different reasons. You all know theater life, the starving artists and looking for grant money and et cetera, requires a lot from people, and you can't really give it your full attention if you're trying to do other things in your life. That was about 2 years ago, and then in the last 2 years there hasn't really been anything in Seattle formally at Meets Deaf Drama. However, we still hope to expand and set up a new group There are a lot of talented deaf people in Seattle experienced in acting and theater, but it's really hard to commit a lot of time for rehearsal and just raising the money. So at the same time, right now there's some more people moving to Seattle and renewing their interest too, other people who have been here. So hopefully we'll be setting up something again. And I'm sure I'll be advertising it here to be deaf. Other questions? Well, I don't think so. I was a jock when I grew up. Football, baseball, that type of activity. But I have to admit, I'm very active in dramatics. See, my father's a Baptist preacher, so I learned a lot from him. His actions at the pulpit, maybe it influenced me. After I went into college, then I became more interested in took drama classes, and after that got more involved. For me, I went to the Washington State School for the Deaf, and had a drama club there, so I started getting involved with other deaf students there. After I graduated, I worked with computers for a while and got involved a little bit with hearing theater world, but then got back involved with deaf drama, and the interpreter missed the last sentence. And I went to Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C. and got my B.A. in drama.
Obviously, physical expression is a large part of everyday conversation. Does that make it easier for deaf people become actors, or does it require training of any sort, or any kind of adapt? I know the language is different, but is there a kind of training program they go through, or how does one adapt to be a speaking person to express themselves physically, to be an actor to express themselves physically?
There's a lot of different rules for performing in the theater. For one thing, sight lines are really important when you think about having a deaf audience. A lot of people don't think about that. You know, if it's just two deaf people without theater background talking and they're on stage, they're just talking with each other and they're not thinking about how the audience has to see all their signs. It's different than for hearing theater. You can never turn your back on the audience like that. There's a lot of theater rules that are special for deaf theater. And for the sign language itself, you need to think about how to make the signs more clear, project the signs. Someone had asked about the difference between our everyday language ASL and theater ASL. It is different. For example, a theatrical sign. What I did before with the cats here, when I was showing, I could just find a cat like that, that's it. But when you're on the stage, you want to show, make it larger than life, you add, you know, all of this, the whiskers, the tail. You wouldn't see that in just everyday sign language. Also, everyday sign language is a lot smaller. Suppose someone was describing a cat, they might do ears, whiskers. You just have to exaggerate the sign, really roll them up so people can see them. Also, let's see. Suppose you're working from a script. Just use everyday signs, but sometimes you can't use finger spelling, they're hard to see. You've got it, one example, deaf culture has name signs. My name is Jair. And especially on stage and also in everyday life, you wouldn't want to have to finger spell all that each time you talk about that person. So you have name signs, J-L on the chest is mine. And the same for theater, you have to introduce the people's name signs, the character's name signs, to make sure they're understood. Also, if you're working from a script, you've got to translate it into ASL. I mean, you look at it and you think, well, what does it mean in English? And you have to memorize it. And for deaf actors doing a deaf production, you have to work with the script and translate it from English into ASL, which is very different. ASL is a different language. It's got its own syntax, its own grammar system. The rules are very different from English language. So if you really want to do a production in ASL, you just work through the script, figure out what it means, and then you have to translate it into ASL. That's another whole process involved with deaf theater. Also, think about that. You've got to do a lot of rehearsals on stage. You know, if you're doing a hearing production and hearing actors, they can be walking around and talking at the same time, but that can't happen in a deaf world. You know, if I'm signing like this and we're both deaf people in the play, there's no way you can see me. I've got to make sure that I'm signing so not only the audience can see me, but so that the actor can see me. So that's a whole other thing to think about when you're blocking a deaf production. Before our time runs out, I want to explain a little bit about deaf theater in general. What you saw here was story form of theater. There is drama, you know, same as hearing theater, you have comedy,